Please, John chapter 12. I'm going to direct your attention to just two verses this morning. I'll read them, and then we'll talk about some introductory type things before we get back into those verses. We'll let all the riffraff get taken care of there. John chapter 12. Look at verse 42, please, with me. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I'm going to be starting a series of messages this morning on this topic, on this subject of being a people pleaser. And really how not to be an approval junkie, as it's called. I want you to ask yourself this question as we begin this morning. I want you to really think about this, right? The title of the message this morning is, Am I a People Pleaser? And, or we could say, Am I an approval junkie? The need for man's praise, the man's approval. We read in our text here this morning that there were some who loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So before we get going here, I want you to ask yourself this question this morning, and I really want you to ponder this and think about this for a minute. Am I a people pleaser? All right, is everybody here? Pay attention, be serious, be sober-minded about the Word of God today, all right? Now, if you were to have asked me this question not that long ago, am I a people pleaser? I would have easily and immediately said, no, I don't have a problem with that. I don't care what people think of me, and regularly, I will stand up against those that I think are wrong. Surely I don't have a problem with the love of approval. But do I? And if I look honestly, can I really say that? Can I truly say that? I don't think I'm much different than many people, most people. And I wonder if we may need to confess that we are not as free from the love of approval as we think we are. In my case, personally, I've come to realize the harsh reality that there's always been a few individuals whom I have inordinately wanted to please in my life. That love of recognition or approval of certain individuals can control the way that we think and even our actions. To the point that what can happen is that we find ourselves even struggling to accommodate unbiblical things or thoughts because of the strong desire to gain another person's approval, or, here it is, a fear that we may lose another's approval. And it can impact the way that we think and the way that we act. Now, what's at the heart of all of this? Well, the more that we look into the Word of God, the more that we realize the degree to which the sin of pride and the sin of idolatry is behind seeking man's approval. Now, we as saints of God, members of Blackwood Baptist Church, we would say, no, I'm not idolatrous. I don't have any other gods before the one true God. That's how we want to think. That's how we want to act. But in reality, when there is a element and a degree of being a people pleaser in our life, it is a form of idolatry. What does it mean to be a people pleaser? Well, here's a typical definition. People pleaser is a person who gives a lot of importance to pleasing others. And in the process, their primary intention is to be liked and appreciated in return by the people that they try to please. You follow that? Maybe a better definition might be this. One who looks to someone or something else to do for them the things that only God can actually do in their life. For example, trying to find our joy or find happiness in things or people when our value and our joy and our happiness actually is in the, needs to be in the Lord. But we look to things and we look to people for validation, for approval, to gain that sense of joy or happiness. Typically, the motive behind that is actually what our verse and our text says, that we love the approval of man rather than, or at least more than, the approval of God. Now, all of this is going to be developed more fully in messages to come. We're going to do a whole series on this subject, and we're going to be dealing with this subject from two main thoughts or two main headings. First of all, we're going to need to understand what our problem is. But then secondly, we're going to deal with it from the perspective of God's solution for it. Does everybody understand that? Understanding what our problem is first and foremost, and then number two, what is God's solution for it? And we're going to examine and explore a lot inside of each of those categories. But before we go any further with that, I want to try to take a minute here and help us evaluate how much of a people pleaser we might actually be. And we're going to look today in our text at some characteristics of a people pleaser. But before we get into our text to see those characteristics of a people pleaser, I want to first take just a little people pleasing inventory. Okay? This is going to be designed here to help us get a general sense of maybe our tendencies to fall into the sin of loving approval of man more than of God. And it is a sin. Now, this list that I'm going to go through here, it's not exhaustive, certainly, and it may not apply in your life in every situation. But here's the thing. The presence of some of these things should make us pause and consider that we may not be as free from the love of approval as we think we are. Now, certain personality types, like my own, like I said, would be like, no, I don't have a problem with that. I don't care what people think. But in reality, if you get right down to it, you get to the bottom of things, I think that we all struggle in some area with this issue. For example, you might be one who has a tendency to strive to be more politically correct than biblically correct. I'm afraid to take a stand or to say certain things because it might ruffle some feathers and want everybody to get along. And I'll accommodate, maybe, or compromise in an area or two because of the sake of not wanting to stir the pot, and I might have a tendency to be more politically correct than biblically correct. Maybe you're one who has a tendency to go fishing for compliments. You need validation. You need that praise of others. Maybe I need that, and so we have a tendency to kind of manipulate conversations to try to find that compliment. I'm fishing for those compliments. A lot of times that comes from insecurities that we might have. Maybe you're one who would have a tendency to fall into gossip about other people. to people or with people who you believe would be pleased with you for having that kind of a discussion. Like maybe you don't really want to be a gossip, but because this individual that you value or that you want their approval with, you'll fall into that temptation or that discussion of gossip rather than say, I'm not going to be a part of this because of a fear of losing the approval of that individual. Maybe you're one who often finds yourself feeling burdened by the things that you have to do. What I mean by that is, if you're a people pleaser, there's a good chance that your schedule is filled up with activities and things that you think other people want you to do. You following me here? Rather than being able to say no. I can't say no. And so I feel obligated to do this, like to go to this place or to do this thing because those people want me to do that. And I don't really want to do it, but I can't say no, but I don't want to make them unhappy, so okay, I guess I'm going to go do that. That leads to people usually coming up with lies or excuses. I'm all of a sudden feeling sick. I guess I'm not going to be able to make it. You following me here? Maybe you feel uncomfortable if somebody's angry at you. You know, just because someone is upset or mad doesn't necessarily mean that you did anything wrong. But if you can't stand the thought of someone being displeased with you, you're more likely to be one who will compromise your values because of the fact that you cannot stand the thought that someone is displeased with you. And so to avoid that, I might compromise my values because I'm trying to make them happy. Maybe you're one who desires a good reputation and a good name, but that desire is predominantly based in how that reputation will benefit you rather than for the glory of God or the good of others. How is this going to make me look? What kind of a name do I have? All right, are we engaged? Hopefully I've caught your attention here. And you're asking yourself this question. Maybe you're one who needs praise in order to feel good. What I mean by that is, you know, praise and kind words, those can make anybody feel good for sure. But people pleasers depend on validation in order to feel good. You know, maybe our self-worth doesn't rest entirely on what other people think about us, but a lot of times the only way that people actually feel good is when other people are showering us with compliments. That can be particularly difficult, you know, when you are a person who has a love language that is words of affirmation. You know, I like words of affirmation. This is personally true for me. I'm one who likes words of affirmation. I know this about myself, that this is one of my love languages. This can actually be a struggle for people because it gives them a sense and a feeling of self-worth when those compliments are coming, I feel good about that, but when they stop, all of a sudden I start second-guessing or I start questioning and I start feeling a little insecure. Maybe you're one who will go to great lengths to avoid conflict at all cost. This is a little evaluator here. You know, it's one thing to not want to start conflicts. We shouldn't want to start conflicts. But avoiding conflict at all costs means that, listen, we would be one who would struggle to, when push comes to shove, to stand up for things and for people that we really believe in. Because I can't stand the conflict. We'll talk about a little bit of that today. in the message. Maybe you're one who doesn't admit when your feelings are hurt. These are all marks, indicators of a tendency towards being a people pleaser. You know, you can't, honestly, we can't really form authentic relationships with people unless we're willing to be vulnerable or we're willing to be honest and admit that our feelings can be hurt. You know, when you deny that you're mad or upset or angry, when someone says, "Hey, what's wrong? Are you upset?" "No." "What's wrong?" "Nothing." When everybody knows better. Right? "Are you sad?" "No, it's fine." Put on this face. Won't admit that we are embarrassed or disappointed. Even when we are emotionally wounded, having a problem with admitting that, it honestly keeps relationships very superficial. Maybe you're one who constantly worries about what other people will think of you. Maybe you're one who is willing to compromise or even sin rather than face the rejection of certain people. Are you with me here? You feel like rejection is one of the worst things that you could ever experience. And so to avoid rejection, we'd be willing to compromise in some way. Maybe you're one who struggles with being a respecter of persons or showing favoritism. And why do we show the favoritism? Because of what that gains me in return. Maybe you're one who easily gets angry when contradicted by others, especially in public. That tendency to become angry or become defensive or become even combative when being contradicted has its roots in being a people pleaser. Or how about this? You know, when meeting a new person, you spend more time thinking about how to impress that person or wondering what that person thinks of you rather than how you can minister to that individual. I'm more concerned about what that person thinks of me or the impression that I'm leaving with them. Or if they like me, or how can I impress them, especially if it's someone in a position of recognition or authority, etc. Maybe you have a desire to be noticed more than a desire to be godly. This here can affect the way that we present ourselves, the way that we dress, the way our hair is done, the way we do our makeup, how our appearance is. I have a desire to be noticed more than a desire to be godly. When God calls us to be separate unto the Lord, wanting the recognition or the being noticed by others more than the approval of God. Maybe you give in to peer pressure rather than standing up for what is right. Maybe you're one who won't witness for Christ to others because of a fear of criticism or a fear of rejection. Or maybe you're one who has a tendency to overreact to criticism or perceived criticism. Maybe even dwelling on that too long and allowing it to bring depression into our life because of criticism. Now, that list is not exhaustive, certainly. But just the presence of some of those things in our life really should cause us to pause here for a minute and say, maybe I have more of a tendency in this regard than I thought. So I'll ask the question here, how did you do on the little evaluation? How'd you do? Maybe you did better than you thought you would. Maybe you already knew you were a people pleaser. Maybe you did worse than you thought that you would. But here's the truth, folks. Because of the pride of the human heart, each of us will in varying degrees struggle with the sin of people pleasing at some point. We will. And these may not apply straight across the board in all of them. It may not apply even generally to people, but usually there's one or two or three, a few people, that we inordinately want to please. And it affects our thinking and it affects our actions. Now, before we start looking into the characteristics of a people pleaser, I want to just take a minute and make an important point about idolatry. The reason is because people-pleasing is a form of idolatry. There are two sides to idolatry. The one, just like there are two sides to a coin. On the one hand, the first side involves neglecting God. The first side of idolatry is neglecting God in our life. On the other side of the coin, though, comes the replacing God with a cheap substitute. You know, the head side of the coin is an inordinate desire for something. The tail side of that coin is an inordinate fear of losing something. These two cannot be separated. It's a side of the same coin. An inordinate desire for something, but also an inordinate fear of losing something. You know, people who love control in their life, they fear being unable to control circumstances and people. And it affects the way that they think, and it affects their actions. People who love pleasure fear missing out on an opportunity to gratify the flesh. People pleasing has two sides as well. For the people pleaser, the love of man's approval is accompanied by the flip side of the coin, fear of losing someone's approval or respect or favorable opinion. So it's more than just having this desire for man's approval. There's also a fear of losing respect or losing someone's approval. Are you with me here? Or their favorable opinion, the fear of being rejected, or the fear of conflict with the one we seek favor from becomes a powerful motivator in our thinking and our actions. It's a hard truth to have to digest. It's a hard thing, a hard reality to have to admit that this is true about me. I want you to keep this in mind here as we move forward. And as you evaluate your own life, keep this in mind, this idea that it's not just an inordinate desire for approval, but there also comes the fear of losing people's approval. It's the same thing, just on the other side of the coin. And so what does an approval junkie look like? Well, this spiritual malady can manifest itself in many ways. But as I said before, even the presence of one of these characteristics should be all that's necessary to convict the sincere child of God and the sincere Christian of the presence of a toxic level of pride in our life. And so, what do the characteristics of a people pleaser look like? Well, we find the first two in our text. And there's several others that we'll take a look at. We'll look at some others next week. We only have the time to go through two here today. But I want you to go back to our text verse, all right? And I want you to see again with me in verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. What do the characteristics of a people pleaser look like? Well, first of all, in our text here, we find that they fear the displeasure of man more than the displeasure of God. How do I know that? Because the end of verse 42 says that these people, these chief rulers, believed on Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Why didn't they confess Jesus Christ? Because they were afraid of the displeasure of men more than the displeasure of God. Not only does the people pleaser love the wrong thing, which is man's approval, more than God's approval, but he fears the wrong thing as well. He fears man's disapproval more than the disapproval of God. And notice here that these did not confess Christ because they feared the Pharisees and being kicked out or put out of the synagogue. Now, understand this. This phrase, being put out, it literally means excommunicated, okay? But it really means that they stood to lose a whole lot more than just a good seat in church. It meant that there was going to be a loss of spiritual privileges or positions that a Jew could claim as his birthright. If they confess Christ and the Pharisees put them out of the synagogue, listen, they would lose privilege and position because they were Jews. Things that they claimed as their birthright. Not only that, it assured the hatred and the contempt of those who were in a position of authority. If I do this, those that I look up to, those that have the position of authority are going to hate me. There's going to be contempt there. I'm not going to have the recognition anymore or the approval or the favor of those who hold these high positions. The dread of this punishment, being put out of the synagogue, prevented these rulers from acknowledging and confessing their belief in Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. Wow! So dreaded was this punishment that neither the wisdom and the wonder that they saw in Jesus Christ nor the amazing miracle that they just witnessed prior in this passage was enough for them to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. What miracle did they witness? Well, go back to verse 28. In verse 28, we see Jesus speaking. He says, "Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Skip down to verse 37. "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Down to verse 42. "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him." But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. They just witnessed a miracle, a voice from heaven, God's voice, saying that he's glorifying his name and he will glorify it again. And Jesus says, "This voice didn't come for me, it came for your sake." And those that heard it said, "Whoa, it thundered! That's amazing!" But the miracles that they had just witnessed there, and then the text says that Jesus did many miracles before them, some did not believe. Nevertheless, some of these chief rulers believed on Jesus, But because of the Pharisees, being afraid of being kicked out of the synagogue, they didn't confess him. What do we find here? We find that the people pleaser fears the displeasure of man more than the displeasure of God. Why? Because they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. You know what? Fear is a powerful emotion. Fear has the power for good, and it has the power for evil. You know, if we fear God and we fear sin and sin's consequences, it can keep us from danger. That's a good thing. But fear, on the other hand, can also be something of evil, like the fear of man, for example. The wrong kind of fear can lead to danger. What does Proverbs 29 and verse 25 say? The fear of man bringeth a snare. These chief rulers feared the displeasure of other men, and it brought a snare into their life. The love of man's approval is inextricably bound to the fear of man's disapproval. And when a people pleaser interacts with others, often their thoughts immediately run in the direction of selfishness, anxiety, and fear. What does this person think of me? For example, you know, when it comes to meeting new people, the thoughts inside might be, I'm not prepared to meet this person. What does this person think of me? I'll probably make a fool out of myself in front of this person. I can't reveal too much of myself, or they'll know what I'm really like and reject me. I can't bear the thought of being hurt. I have to get away from this person as quickly as possible. I have to be careful not to say anything that would cause conflict. People can feel this way about others in positions of authority, like in front of the pastor, for example. I always used to hate it if and when my pastor would just randomly stop by my house. Why? Oh, the house isn't clean. The house isn't perfect. What's going on? What am I doing right now? Oh, hi, Pastor. How you doing? Let's just step outside. We can feel that way with others in positions of authority. But you know what? Pastors can feel that way about other pastors too. I've come to realize that pastors sometimes are the biggest people pleasers there are. Because we want to fit into a crowd. You know, you want recognition from other pastors. You go to a preacher's conference, you preach, and you want them to ask you to come and preach at their church. We want the recognition or the name. Afraid to call it like it is for fear of the disapproval of others. Are you here? Are you with me? Maybe it's connecting. Hope it is. People can feel this way towards anyone, though, that they want to gain the approval of, and it can affect our thoughts, it can affect our behavior. And what it boils down to is being more concerned with not experiencing the potential disapproval of a man more than what is actually disapproving of God. Are you with me here? Like, the higher motivation ought to be, this displeases the Lord. I can't do it. Not going to do it. But for fear of losing the approval of a particular person, I might find myself compromising because I don't want to displease them. Lord, help me. Secondly, in our text here, not only is there a fear of experiencing the displeasure or disapproval of men, but we find in verse 33 that the people pleaser desires the praise of men more than the praise of God. In verse 33, here was the bottom line: for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. You know, unless we were backed into a corner with the evidence surrounding us, the approval junkie might never admit that he loves anything more than the Lord. Good Christian people, that's how we are sometimes. I'll never admit that there are things that I love more than the Lord. Of course not. Of course I love the Lord more than anything else. Well, we try to justify that by saying, look at all the things that I do for the Lord. Look how I serve Him. Here's the evidence that I love Him more than anything else. My whole life is invested in and built around my faith. I'm here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Surely I don't love the approval of man more than the approval of God. See? But I wonder if that's exactly how the scribes and the Pharisees thought. With all the things that they do, it verifies they love God more than anything else. Even though the Pharisees were outwardly religious, they were among the clearest examples of people pleasers in the Bible. They spent a great deal of time and a great deal of effort in making themselves look good in the eyes of other people. Go with me to Matthew 23. Hold your place here and look in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23 and verse 5. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They do this and they do that, and they make all of this grand show. They love the upper seats and the chief places to be seen and recognized of men as something important and special. They love to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. Recognition. Even though the things that they were doing, they thought were spiritual in nature, they were done with the wrong motive. And it was for themselves. And listen, even the things that we would consider to be spiritual in nature, like prayer, public prayer, for example. Try to use flowery, impressive words when we pray. Because of what other people will think, rather than what the Lord thinks. Fasting, giving. I give not for the work of the Lord, but because of the fact that if I don't give, people will see and understand and notice, and that's not good. Are you with me? What's the motive behind that? How I appear in front of other people. Desiring the praise of men more than the praise of God. Look in Matthew 6, what Jesus says in Matthew 6. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Take heed that ye do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. You know, we're picking on the Pharisees here. Well, the Word of God does. Highlights them, shows them for what they are. We're like, well, I'm not a Pharisee. But you know what? The Apostle Peter, who was close to the Lord, part of the inner circle of Jesus, he was not an exception to this same struggle. What did Peter say? Peter said to the Lord, I'll never deny you. Lord, I'll die with you. I'll defend you to the death. But when the rubber met the road and it came time for him to prove his loyalty, he lied rather than face persecution. He had more of a problem with desiring approval than he realized. I am no different. Lord, help me. Here's the conclusion. The conclusion is this. There's an element of hypocrisy in us when we're an approval junkie. We become Pharisees at heart. Our service to man, our service to God, becomes tainted by impure motives and desires. Our service becomes more about the external rather than the internal. What is done is motivated by a strong desire for attention from men rather than the praise and the approval of God. And the thought is, it's not this. It's not how will God be glorified in my life and what I'm doing. Rather, it's how will others perceive me when I do or don't do what I'm about to do or not do. We're not primarily concerned with how can I edify others with my words, but we're more concerned with will the words that I choose cast me in a favorable light with other people. What we really need to be concerned with more is things like 2 Timothy 2:15. Turn over there with me. You know the verse, but I want you to see it with your own eyes. Second Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto who? Unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to be more concerned about that which is approving to God. How about Philippians 4 and verse 18? You know this as well. Philippians 4, 18. But look at it with your own eyes. Philippians 4, 18 says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. And how about Romans 12, 1? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Amen? The approval junkie, whether we admit it or not, so craves being held in high esteem by others and to hear their praises that little room is left to entertain the thought of what he might do to acquire the praises of God. And the truth is, the people pleaser simply puts a much higher value on pleasing men than on pleasing God. And as our text says, it's because they love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. So the first two characteristics is a fear of the displeasure and disapproval of men, also accompanied by the desire and the love of the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, next week, we're going to consider some more characteristics found in the Word of God of the people pleaser. And maybe if we have the time, we'll even consider, is it ever okay to be a people pleaser? Are there times when that is acceptable and okay? And we'll look at that from God's Word as well. But over the next several weeks, as we walk through this series and this study, we need to make sure that we are applying the principles and the truths of God's Word to our own life, not just dismissing, but actually considering. And if the Lord begins to speak and the Lord begins to show us some things, then we need to be really concerned about God's solution for it, so that we can gain victory in our life, so that God is ultimately glorified. I'm no exception. And trust me, when I tell you this, that in my studies, it's very convicting. But that's okay. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Why? Because I want to submit to the Lord, and I want Him ultimately to be glorified in my life. We need to grow more in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be like Him. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that You'd help us. First of all, be honest with ourselves to understand our problem. And then, Lord, secondly, to be quick to grab on to the Lord's solution for it. To be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through this study, Lord, I pray that You would do a work in us. Lord, that we would not resist that work, but surrender and submit to it, so that we can grow, or that You can be glorified. And Lord, I pray that You would teach us from Your Word to the extent that we, as the Scriptures teach us, that the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Help us to love the praise of God more than the praise of men. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.